Tech Talk with Lee Stark.
Hello, Lee. How are you? I'm sorry we got to a little later than I wanted to, but anyway, we'll catch up longer next week. How are you today?
I'm okay, mate. Yourself?
Good, thanks, mate. Bose have turned earphones into what? Into earrings?
Well, they're more like cufflinks, actually, for your ears. Every time I wear them, my wife says I look weird, and my six-year-old, who modeled them in the images I sent to you, actually looks a lot better than I do. She says, take them out. You look strange. These are basically, they look like earrings, but they're actually little tiny speakers for your ears. They're called the ultra-open earbuds, and the concept of these is that if you like to walk around and still listen to people talking to you, like you're in a meeting or you're at work, but you still want to listen to your music, that's what these are for. They're called an open style of listening, so you can still hear everything. You get about 7 hours of battery life, effectively, but you end up listening to whatever you want. You could listen to this station, effectively, while still actually hearing everyone else around you.
One has to be careful saying things like this these days, but you have a lovely-looking six-year-old daughter. Please pass that on.
I will, and she's a better model than I am for these earphones, I'll say that much.
Obviously, she got her good looks from her mum.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. I'm not even going to debate that at all.
Now, I read this story this week. I think it was around that we used to think that if we got our phones wet, we'd shove them in a bowl of rice and the rice would draw out the moisture and that would solve the problem. But there's been a story around in the last 7 days or so from Apple saying that's not the case. No, don't. If your phone gets wet, shove it in a bowl of rice.
Yeah, don't do that. It's actually it's kind of a concept dating from the 40s when we used to, well, not me, but when a lot of people actually used to dry out cameras using rice. And they still think that that actually works. Most iPhones, in fact, every iPhone from the iPhone 7 onwards is actually waterproof or highly water resistant rather than waterproof. So if you get it wet, you can actually just dry it off. A lot of Androids are as well. Generally, if you spend over $700 on a phone, it's probably going to be water resistant. Why Apple is telling people not to do this is if you do get your phone wet, a lot of people naturally run for the rice thinking it's a good idea. The problem is, if your phone is waterproof or water resistant, it'll dry off anyway. Just don't charge it through that time. But if you put it in rice, rice can get stuck in the ports, and that isn't always easy to get out. There are instances where rice can actually block up ports, and that makes the phone difficult to use.
That makes sense. The other thing in that article was people think that if they've got a lot of applications open on their phone, it's draining their battery life, and that's not necessarily the case, Lee.
No, that's actually true as well. So that's changed a lot in the past 5 or 6 years as operating systems have evolved. It's kind of an old logic that we think that we're running apps in the background, so therefore it's consuming battery life and processing time. It's not. Apple and Google alike both put the apps on a kind of stasis. They kind of just sit in the background and do nothing, ready for you to jump back into them. If you decide to flick them out, you're actually turning them back on again, and that can eat battery life. And weirdly, I actually had to build an app to find out how that works myself.
Okay, your travel accessory, your next one, could be a plug with a power bank. What's a plug with a power bank?
So you know what a power bank is, and we all know what a plug is for charging your devices.
Yes.
Well, Belkin's hybrid boost charger is basically a combination of the two. It's a plug that also happens to have the power bank in it. It's kind of like that gadget we always thought we needed, but for some reason no one ever invented. So the next time you go on a holiday or you go on a business trip, you carry the one device, you obviously plug it in when you hit the hotel or the airport to recharge your phone. It will recharge the power bank at the same time because it's built in the same device. And so when you're sitting there on a plane or on a train, you're like, oh, I really desperately need to charge, your plug actually has the power bank directly in it.
Okay, the way of the future. This is a bit scary, speaking of the future. I mean, it's here now, is it? Hackers might soon be able to work out your passwords by listening to your touch screen.
Yeah, this one's really interesting. It's come out of research. Fortunately, hackers don't have the ability to just yet, but the research suggests it's definitely possible. Basically, what will happen is if you install an app that listens to your screen, has microphone access for no reason, it could actually listen to the sounds of your fingers in different positions on your screen itself. And effectively, researchers have found that pretty solid degree of certainty, you can work out whether you're typing your PIN code, your password effectively, and then use that information to recreate that sort of thing. We've got a fairly obvious tip against this. It's not out in the wild yet, but if you've got secure accounts like your banking or other things that you're really worried about, set up multi-factor and pass keys. That way, it's not so easily broken into. I think we covered this sort of thing last week with the whole porting in devices. And also, likewise, just don't install unusual apps. If you don't install unusual random apps from the web and from other places, you probably will be okay.
Lee, what's better, a password or Face ID or fingerprint ID or something like that? Where I'm leading to is, are we going to get to the stage where we just don't have to have in our head or in an app, you know, 150 different passwords?
Well, we are going to that stage, but not because of things like fingerprint ID or Face ID. We're getting to that because of something called a passkey. And it's effectively like a handshake between your phone and the net and the server. So Amazon supports them. PlayStation just switched them on the other day. Google supports them as well. The idea is that instead of having to remember the password, your phone, because that's basically your entire life these days, becomes that entire password. As to your question, which is more secure, I mean, Face ID is secure and other biometrics because you can't recreate them, but they just act as sort of like an extra layer of your password. They're not a replacement for it. They just let you access the password. Pass keys are more secure because you have to actually have that device in the first place. So I can't just log into your service. I can't log into your Google if you've got a passkey set up. Only you can because you've got it accessed on your phone.
Your point five we won't discuss because I will never mention that company's name on my program.
That's totally fair. To be honest, I'm not a huge fan of them either.
Never mention it. I have a question for you. I do. I have Starlink in the country because of, you just don't get any NBN service whatsoever. And yep. I did a speed test the other day from Starlink, and it was, 250 megabit downloads, righto? But I have an extended Wi-Fi throughout my house, and it's on a different Wi-Fi network than the Starlink one. So you've got Starlink, and then you've got the name of my extended Wi-Fi. I have an Ethernet cord cable coming from the Starlink and going to an Ethernet switch box, which operates other things as well on that extended Wi-Fi network. My question to you is, why is the speed retarded by, 150 megabits per second when I do a speed test on the extended Wi-Fi throughout my house?
So that's actually fairly simple. So wireless routers come in lots of different shapes and sizes, but mostly they come in different bandwidth limitations. Now, I was actually going to say to you, the way you've got it set up, it actually sounds a lot like you should probably be using mesh networking instead of having two totally separate wireless networks effectively running into each other. I'd be running the Starlink as a form of internet connection into a mesh device and setting up different mesh connection accessories around your home. That way you've only got one network. And the reason why I say mesh is mesh acts kind of like a Venn diagram of network activity. So you put one in one part of your house, you put another one somewhere else, and it kind of spreads it around beautifully and works out where to connect you to on certain devices. But to answer your question, the reason why it comes at different speeds is because different wireless routers and devices do operate and provide different speeds in general. And so like a perfect example is Wi-Fi 6 and Wi-Fi 6E. They can send out at provide a maximum of around 3 gigabits of bandwidth, which is more than enough for your Starlink to actually operate, provided it's being balanced between everything else.
Okay. Thank you very much. Our time is up. Got to go to the news. We'll catch up with you next Wednesday afternoon.
All good, mate. See ya.
Thanks, Lee. That's Lee Stark talking tech.